Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. We're in the middle of a week going through just an amazing parable from Jesus in Matthew 25, and we kind of just began to scratch the surface. It was funny, if you're with us yesterday, we were going through kind of the Jewish wedding rite, the Jewish wedding process and ceremony, and I felt like, you know, I was watching the clock, and I felt like just as we were getting to this place of like, oh my gosh, this is amazing, this is so crazy how this Jewish wedding process crosses over to what Jesus is speaking about and what it means for our spiritual lives. And we got so much good stuff in, but we ran out of time. So I'm so excited today to dive back into this. And I want to go back to what we were saying on Monday, friends, and I want to remind you, if you weren't here, go back and listen to the episode, but I want to remind you, we're entering into a new season with the Lord, and we're practicing becoming secure in His Word, allowing Him to carry our burdens, allowing Him to carry the pain, the fear, the hard things, even the good things. And we're becoming more secure in Him. And as we hear this word, even as we hear a parable, the Lord is speaking to us the truth of our lives, the truth about who we are, the truth about where we're going. And He's giving us ways that we can enter more deeply into a relationship with Him so that we can say, the bridegroom is coming. I am ready to meet Him. That's why we're doing any of this, really. Like, I want you to be a better person. I want you to have better habits. I want you to enjoy your life more. I want to have all those things. But ultimately, that thing, I want to be ready when the bridegroom comes to meet me, whether that's me individually when I die or whether I'm still alive when He comes again on the clouds, riding in on the clouds on His white horse. Whenever that is, I want to be ready. And friends, I want you to be ready, truly. And so often we can go through our lives, each in our days, and just get bogged down with all the details and all the things. And I, like, you know, we got to do this, and we got to clean the house, and we got to get the kids to school, or I got to get my homework done, or I got to get my schoolwork done, or I got to go to this meeting, that meeting. And it's just like getting through the day, or I got to resolve this conflict, or this thing is just so heavy, da da da. And the Lord wants to help us through a parable like this, take our eyes off of the now and into what is unseen, it is into what is to come, and say, how do I readjust and say, I am living my day. Yes, I still have to do all of those things. Yes, I'm here. I have to record my show. I have to go up and I have to make work calls. I have to clean out my fridge. No, like, seriously, I do. But like, I have to do all of these different things. And like, yes, I'm still doing them. But He's saying, raise your eyes to heaven. Raise your eyes up to where I'm coming on the clouds so that you can be ready. And that affects how I do all of these things. Amen? Amen. So put your burdens onto the Lord. We are going deeper as we secure ourselves in Him. So we're going to read Psalm 113, and then we're going to get back into this passage. I'm so excited about what we're going to get into today and diving into the nitty-gritty of how this passage corresponds with our spiritual lives and kind of that Jewish wedding imagery. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, for this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high? Who looks far down upon the heavens and the earth. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with the princes of His people. He gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord. Lord Jesus, we worship You. We praise You. We exalt in Your name. You are glorious. You are good. Blessed be the name of the Lord now and forevermore. You are high above all nations, and Your glory is to the heavens. We worship You. We love You. We praise You. For there is no one like You. Let our praise and our worship open our hearts and our minds to receive who you are, not as we desire you to be, not as we think you are, but who you truly are. Lord Jesus, we love you. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and read our passage again, and then we're going to pick right up where we left off yesterday. Matthew 25, verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be compared to 10 maidens who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, "Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those maidens rose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "Perhaps there will not be enough for us and for you. Go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other maidens came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you neither know the day nor the hour." Amen. So where we left off yesterday is we began to really dive into kind of this Jewish wedding process to say, like, what would the Jews that were listening would have heard? What would they would have been understanding of what was happening? And so I want to go through each of those elements. And we talked about yesterday that first element was the matchmaking, how really it was so common that the father finds a match for the bride. The father says, "Here, I found you a worthy groom. I've searched high and low. I love you so much. I vetted him myself. I found you a groom." And so we look at our lives, we look at salvation history, and we look at the church, we look at the world stumbling in sin and in darkness, alone, out of the garden, living in suffering, trying to follow the law and saying, "Is there a way?" And the Father says, "I have not only something for you, I don't just have a solution, but I have a person, I have my son. I found the bridegroom for you." And this is a thing of saying, when the Father sends his Son, his only begotten Son, into the world, John 1, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." The only begotten Son of God, the true Word of God. When the Word comes to us, when Jesus is sent to us, St. John of the Cross says, in Jesus, the Father is speaking the final word. He's saying, "Everything I want to say is here to you in my Son." The Son is not just a solution to the problem, because what needs to happen is a bringing together of a relationship. The Father is after a full consummation of a relationship, the fullest type of relationship, the most intimate relationship you could have, the deepest relationship you could have, where you are known and fully known, where you know and are fully known, where you are seen and you are fully seen. And so he says, to do that, I'm not just sending a solution, but I'm sending the person of Jesus to be in full, perfect relationship with the human race. I picked my Son. I have chosen my Son for you. And the most beautiful thing is he also looks at the Son. He looks at the Son and he says to the Son, "Here's your bride." And I love the image of a father walking a bride down the aisle. Whenever I get married, my dad is going to be such a mess at the wedding. And have you seen those like videos of like the groom receiving the bride at the end of the aisle? And the father hands over the bride, the daughter, to the bridegroom. He says, "Here's your bride." And the father says to the Son, the only begotten Son of God, he says, "Here's your bride. I've prepared her. I've purified her. She's ready. She's ready for you. She's ready for the marriage feast. And he gives us the gift of salvation through his son. And then the son, he's not just like, oh, I've done this for you. The son, Jesus, is longing for you as his bride. He's longing for the church. He's longing for an eternal companion. And the father says, here, son, here's the church. Here's Rachel. Here's your bride. I'm giving her to you as your eternal companion. We get to be eternal companions with the son. It's this beautiful thing. So the father makes the match. The father makes the match. It happens. And then the son says, here are my intentions. The son says, here are my intentions. And Jesus comes and he says, here's my intentions. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. My intention is to bring you home to the father. This is the goal of the marriage. To be fruitful, to become holy, to bring you home so that you can be with me forever. This is what our marriage will look like. The ketubah, the signing, the marriage intentions made by the groom, and that's signed. That's what's framed in my parents' house, my father's intentions to my mother. And then the bride price is paid. And so often in the Old Testament, it was like a cow where it was all the gold that they had. And that's not because it was like, oh, she's only worth a cow or whatever, but it was a symbol. And so Jesus not only says, here are my intentions, but I'm going to pay the price. And the price for the bride is the blood of Jesus. The price for the bride is the lamb who was slain. Friends, do you see how this beautiful wedding is playing out? Jesus says, I want to be in relationship with you so badly. I'm paying the highest price, and the price is my life. So he dies, then he rises from the dead, and then the bridegroom goes off and prepares a place. And this is where we pick up in the story. The bridegroom has gone off to prepare a place for the bride, and the virgins are waiting there. They're waiting for the bridegroom to return and take the bride to her rightful place with him. So Jesus dies and he ascends into heaven, and he tells his apostles, I am going to prepare a place for you, but I'm coming back. I'm coming back to get you. I'm coming back to be with you forever. Just wait. Just wait. And we're going to pick up. This is where we are in the story. But then the groom comes back and he says, I'm here. And the bride needs to be ready to go with the groom, because she's not just going to a celebration. She's not just going to a party, but she's going to a feast where her and the groom will go off together and they will become one. And this is why Jesus is saying, this is what this is. It's the two of us becoming one. It's the marriage feast of the Lamb. This is what the kingdom of heaven is. It's us being in intimate relationship. So if you don't want that on earth, I cannot force you, and I will not force you to have it in heaven. If a groom and a bride don't want to become one, if they don't want marriage, if they don't want children, if they don't want all the things, if they just want like friendship, if they just want to hang out, if it's just like, yeah, I kind of just want financial security and I just want to kind of like not be lonely, the groom's kind of like, man, that's not really what I'm intending by proposing to you. And so here's where we pick up in our story, friends, and we're going to pick up tomorrow, is the groom has gone. Jesus is saying, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. You are waiting for the groom to return. The groom has gone. And what does it take to be ready? What does it take to be prepared for him to come back and get you and take you home and become one? Join us again tomorrow as we talk about what does it take to be ready. Amen.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.